and green valleys,
thou beauty
that surrounds me, all make me aware
of the one who made it all.
To know that Jesus is
well and alive
today.
He makes his home in my heart.
Never
more will I be
alone. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. Paul said, "But I fear lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." I think the main thing about being a Christian is to make sure that the main thing remains the main thing in our life. And I think that's what Paul is speaking about here primarily, that the main thing that is at the center of our life as a Christian is Christ and is the relationship that we have with Him. And that is a simple thing. That is a pure thing. And our world that we live in today is becoming increasingly complex. And one of the reasons for that is because it's getting farther and farther away from God. And as we look at that world, it's easy for us to be distracted from the simplicity that is in Christ, that is to be the devotion of our life, that is to be the center of our heart. Serving Christ, living for Him, knowing Him. When we look at the world that God has created, it's very simple in many ways. In other ways, it's very complex. But we have the seasons that come every year. We have the sun and the moon, that there's a consistency day in and day out. And we look at the flowers, we look at life, we look at anywhere we go on earth, life is the same. Life is very consistent as God created it. And as we look into His Word, and we see Jesus Christ, and we see the way of life that God has given for us to live, it's very simple and it's very clear. And God has made known to us what He is seeking from us. So the concern is that we be drawn away from that. And of course, Satan is the primary, number one enemy that we have in that regard, who wants to distract us, draw us away with those same familiar ways of temptation that he has been using from time began. And that was Paul's concern here for the Corinthians, and I'm sure that it would be his concern for us today. What is that simplicity that he is speaking about? And I believe it comes down largely to a daily relationship and a friendship and a companionship that we have with Jesus Christ in our life. That do you sense Christ there in your life, and are you growing in your relationship with Him? Do you dwell upon that? Do you think about that? Well, we know it's easy to lose that in the midst of Christian life and in the world of busyness that we live in. I think of it sometimes like getting up in the morning, going outside on a beautiful morning like today, and the green grass and the dew on the grass, the morning is so crisp and fresh and so much to look forward to in that day that God has given us. That as the psalmist said, "This is the day that the Lord has given us. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." But we know that as the day continues, that life gets busy, life is always coming at us, and that the challenge for us is to not be drawn and taken away from that simplicity that we have in Jesus Christ. So I'd like for us to think about that this morning. We're happy to have visiting with us the Felician family from Texas, from Twin City Congregation, there near College Station, Texas, the home of Texas A&M, and are excited that they know my niece, Ellen Vaughn, and Josh, her husband, good friends with them and their family, and so it's wonderful to see, and that's a wonderful congregation there, I understand, the Twin City Congregation, Chuck Durham, and it's great to have you folks with us today. We really appreciate that. And we're glad to have John and Nelda Lawrence again with us from Warner Robins, Georgia, Linda's niece and her husband. They were with us last Sunday. And we're also happy to have Megan Olierhoek, which is Jen Banks' sister from Phoenix, Arizona area. So it's wonderful to have all of you. And we're happy and excited to have our family together today, all except for Jeremy Partain, my son-in-law, Angie's husband. Wasn't able to come, but other than that, Jeremy, we're all together, and we've had a wonderful weekend, and had a wonderful day last night, and it seems that I'm coming up to what many would say a milestone birthday.
Uh-oh.
And I'm going to be turning 70 on Tuesday. So we had to get together last night, and it was great. And Molly put together a photo show, you know, with music, and it was really the old music, which all the kids would think that Papa, that's crazy, you know. But it was very sweet, and made us cry, Karen and I, as we thought back all the memories of our life and how God has been so good to us. So it's great to have them all here together with us today, with all 11 grandchildren, including little Theo, who is all of 8 months old now. So we are happy to have all of our family here together today. But the main thing that we want to be thinking about as we think about our lives as Christians is how God has given us a simple, pure life to live. And as Paul expresses here, he said, "But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." And some of the translations that we have, such as the New American Standard, say that from the simplicity and the purity of devotion to Christ. And I think that well expresses what he is speaking about, because the Corinthians were being assaulted with false teachers coming into the congregation and who were exposing them to things that were catching their attention, drawing their attention away. And it seems that they were undermining the Apostle Paul as a true apostle and putting many, many doubts in the minds of the congregation, the members there. Paul was rightly to be concerned about that. And not a man normally given to speaking up, defending himself, very humble, very quiet about those things. And yet, like a mother would be if her child was suddenly put in danger, and that mother then goes into a different gear to defend her children, the Apostle Paul is writing in that way about this threat that he saw coming to the congregation. And speaking about that concern that he had, that as the serpent deceived Eve back in the beginning by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. That is a concern, that is an application of very much today as it was then, that it is right for leaders, elders, and preachers, and other concerned Christians to be concerned of that danger that we be drawn away from the simplicity and the purity of Jesus Christ into areas as not given by the Lord, and that would have only the result to weaken our faith, to draw us into the things of man, the things of the world, the things of Satan. And it was a simple thing that Satan put in the mind of Eve in the beginning, that has God said that you cannot eat of anything in the garden? And he began to question in their mind the words that God had spoken that were very clear. God had made himself clear. And God's word has been made clear for us. And I can put this as a way of application to all of us families, with our grandchildren and with other children that are here and young people, and how there is a battle for our minds that is always taking place. And the little children, they are born, they are sweet, they are innocent, they are pure in their hearts. And it is a simple thing to teach them to love God and to love Jesus Christ and to believe in God and to trust. And yet as the world unfolds before their eyes, things are introduced into their minds that begins to confuse them and can take away and cause that to be questioned in their mind. What was planted there and taught there and was so clear in the beginning. That same thing happens in the lives of Christians that Paul was speaking about here. And of course, the Old Testament teaches that keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. That we strive to teach our children the way of God, the Word of God, and to love God with all of our heart. The world comes along and it begins to attack that and tear that down in different ways as it seems to be an ongoing onslaught in our society today to tear down the family itself and to instill in children the questioning of everything. And I heard the other day that in England, when a child begins school in England, 4 years old, preschool, that there's a questionnaire now to take home. What is your gender preference? And there are 27 choices. 4-year-old child. And they do not want the parent deciding that for the child, only to explain it. So we're living in a world that is very confused and very complex, sadly. God has given us a very simple choice, and His word is very simple and plain. And I understand that God teaches each one of us to be a good Bible student. And we have several places where God says, study to show yourself approved of God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, handling aright the word of God, the word of truth. It's easy for us to begin to make many excuses today. And I've heard even Christians make that kind of comment that, well, I'm just not a student. I'm just not a good Bible student. Well, I'm sorry, but God expects us to be good Bible students, to take the time to open His Word and to invest time in reading and learning and understanding. And God has given us promises in His Word that if you read My Word, you will be able to understand My will. So it is given to us by God, but the challenge is, do not be led away from the simplicity and the purity of devotion to Christ. The message is clear that God has given to us. And the message that we as a congregation seek to uphold and proclaim and advance is a very simple message and a very simple mission. That we want to help everyone follow Jesus. We want to help everyone know Jesus. To come to know Him. And the way that we are able to do that is by knowing Him personally as our Lord and as our Savior and as He is God in human flesh. Now exalted and raised from the dead and sitting at the right hand of God. And so our goal is to help everyone to follow Jesus by bringing them to salvation through the gospel, leading them to spiritual maturity in Christ, and preparing them to serve the Lord. As we look at the gospel, we see that the gospel is very simple and that it is something that we believe that a person, as soon as they are old enough to know right from wrong, is able to understand the gospel and able to understand what that person needs to do in order to be saved. To believe in Jesus Christ, to repent of their sins, to confess our faith in Him, and to be baptized into the Lord. So our goal is to help people personally come to know Jesus Christ and obey His will, that person can be forgiven of sin and stand right with God and be prepared for eternity. To help us each intimately grow in our relationship with God through worship. As we have come this morning and heard beautiful singing of voices together, singing praises to God. And as we come together in worship, we're drawing near to God. We are also drawing near to each other as a body and as a family. And God has a beautiful plan in His will for the church to help us, each one, accomplish those goals. To draw near to God, to draw near to one another, to bond with each other as fellow Christians. And devoutly in our life to grow spiritually and become strong and mature in the faith of Christ. By the encouragement of continuing to study together from the Word of God. We had a beautiful, wonderful Bible study this morning in the book of Genesis. And as Bruce commented, so many lessons to be learned there about our faith and being patient in our life with God and learning to wait on God and understand that when God makes a promise, His promise is true, but it may not come to pass immediately on our timetable. We have to trust Him. We grow in those things and we learn to trust God and we learn to know God. As we study together and worship together, God has given us a simple plan how we can accomplish these goals in our lives, helping each other to know and follow Christ all the way from here to eternity when we enter into eternity to have a home in heaven awaiting for us. Lovingly in service to be prepared as each Christian to serve God, to serve others, to be a person who's an instrument in the hand of God to bring forth salt and light to others and to render goodness and good works and kind deeds to show love for that person as made in the image of God and seeking to develop a relationship with people that we can introduce them and invite them to come to Christ in our life. And together as a body, we seek to restore His church to the purity that it was created and designed. When Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, that upon this rock I will build my church. Christ built his church. And this is Christ's church. We are striving to make clear that this is Christ's church, that it is his body, his people, that he has died for. And as we come together through worship and through prayer and through meditation and study together from the Word of God, our goal is to draw close to God and draw close to each other in love and in faith. We gain strength from that together, and we find comfort and rejoice in victories that we... So we share our lives together. And sometimes we laugh together, sometimes we cry together. Sometimes we rejoice in happy things that are happening and victories that we are seeing in our lives. And sometimes we come together to comfort one another in times of grief and things that have happened. Well, we're very thankful this week that Angie and her boys are safe, because the other day on Tuesday morning, I think it was, driving into town, they were stopped at the turn signal to turn into the Walmart there and were rear-ended by a driver who was driving at a fairly rapid speed and some damage to their car, but thankfully, no one seriously injured. So praise God for that. But as we come together as a congregation, we gain strength with each other. We are there to help each other. We are there to support each other. Paul said in the book of Galatians that bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We are a family. So sometimes we support one another in joy. Sometimes we support one another in comfort in difficult times. But we're here to serve Christ and to help you reach maturity in Christ. That is our goal. We don't come together to entertain one another or to be entertained. We come together for a purpose, an important one, and that is to glorify God, to praise Him, to know Him, and to help each other know Him better and serve Him in a way that is pleasing and worthy of His great glory. So the basis of the gospel, is the good news that Jesus died for our sins, He was buried, and He rose from the dead on the third day. And Paul says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We find that the gospel plan is also very simple. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15 and 16, Jesus commanded his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. So as we look at God's word, we find that a simple way is given how to be saved, how to become a Christian. As we read through the book of Acts, we see example after example after example, people being converted to Christ, obeying the gospel, having their sins forgiven, their life becoming a Christian and being changed forever. That obedience to the gospel is a simple thing. We find in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 7, that Paul explains it there as being buried with Christ and raised with Him. These familiar words. Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Isn't that simple? How does a person become a Christian? We're buried with Christ in baptism into death. That as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. God has given a simple plan, a simple gospel, and his church is very simple as we see it given to us by Christ. It is the bride of Christ. It is the body of Christ. It is the kingdom of Christ. It is the household of God, the temple of God. Those who followed Jesus Christ wore the name Christians. In Acts chapter 11 and verse 26, the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. They were first called Christians in Antioch. The church is the bride of Christ. It's to be kept pure. And one of the goals that Christ has for his church is the purity of his church on the day when he returns. That his church will be ready to meet with him. To enter in as the bridegroom, anticipating that day. And we're reminded of the bride as she comes into the wedding and wearing the white dress, the purity. Revelation 19 and verse 9, he said, "Right, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb." And he said, "These are the true sayings of God." Church is the bride of Christ and awaiting the marriage ceremony which will take place when we enter into heaven. We're to worship in spirit and in truth. Jesus, in his words with the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4 and verse 23 and 24, he expressed to her in those words, he said, "The hour is coming and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." As we think about the simplicity of worship, and we have participated this morning in those simple actions and the simple ways of worship that God has authorized and instructed for us to partake of the Lord's Supper together on the first day of the week. And in that, we remember that Jesus' death, his body and his blood was shed as he was nailed upon the cross. And he gave his blood and he gave his life for each one of us. And we're to remember that. God wants us to remember it. We remember it not once a year, not once a quarter. We remember it once every Sunday, every first day of the week. And we're told that in Acts 20 and verse 7, the disciples came together on the first day of the week to break bread. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 27, more is reminded of how Jesus in that night gave this to his disciples and instituted partaking of the supper in this way, saying, "This do in remembrance of me." But we also find that as the early Christians were baptized into Christ on the day of Pentecost, there were 3,000 that obeyed the gospel on that day, on that one day, and were added to Christ. And it said in verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Well, we find that there was study of God's Word together as the apostles were the direct representatives of Jesus, inspired by God through the Holy Spirit. And their Word was the doctrine of the apostles. It was the doctrine of Christ. And they continued steadfastly in those teachings. And they had fellowship together, and they had prayer together, and they broke bread. So the worship of the Lord's people has been made very plainly revealed for us. And we're told in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16 that to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And it is a beautiful way that God has given for us to worship Him. But we're also committed to restoring the church to biblical unity and purity as Christ would have it. Not in the ways that men have added and taken away from the Word of God and introduce things into the worship of the church and into the practice of the church that were not found in the Scriptures. But in John 17 and verse 17, Jesus in His prayer to the Father said, "Sanctify them by Your truth. Your word is truth. And as You have sent Me into the world, I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify Myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone," He said, "but also for those who will believe in Me through their word, that they all may be one, as You, Father, are in Me, and I in You, that they may be one in Us, that the world may believe that You sent Me. And the glory which You gave Me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as We are one, I in them, and You in Me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that You have sent Me and have loved them as You have loved Me." So Christ has given a way of unity of God's people. The Bible, following the Scriptures, will bring unity. As we go to God's Word, and as we seek to follow and hear what the Word of God says, we will be able to find unity together, walking in the way of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 3, he speaks of it there, that we are endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. He said there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But as he speaks about the coming of Christ and the purity of the church in Ephesians 5 and verse 25, he said, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her, that He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that He might present her to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish." That is the goal. That is the goal of Christ. That is the purpose of the church, the mission of the church, is that we would help one another follow Jesus Christ by coming together and worshiping Him, by strengthening one another, drawing closer to God, drawing closer to one another, supporting one another in our faith, helping our faith to grow and become mature, that we may be able to go and serve others and serve one another to help others find the way and be faithful to the Lord, so that when we come to that day and Jesus Christ returns to this earth, the church, His church, will be glorious, will be pure and holy in His sight. So we strive for that. And that again was one of the reasons that I believe Paul wrote, as he did here in 2 Corinthians 11, he said, "But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Our goal then is for our hearts and our minds to not be drawn away from that devotion that we have to Jesus Christ, and to remain pure in that devotion as He has given to us a simple way of being right in His sight. Thank you for your attention today. Thank you for being present. And we want to close our lesson today by extending the invitation of the gospel to everyone to come forward to confess your faith that Jesus is Lord, to repent of your sins and be baptized into Christ if you have not done so before. And so we're going to stand and sing the invitation song as a way to invite you to come, and we invite you as we stand and as we sing together.
Are the promises,
kind is the word,
dear Lord,
than any message man ever heard. Pure was the mind of Christ,
sinless
I see.
He's a great example, is a pattern for me.